We are continuing on our 50 Baptists. I think everybody should know. 50 Baptists, you should know, as we look at this in Sunday school during our 50th anniversary. And this morning, we're going to study the wife of the man we studied last week, Adoniram Judson. His wife's name is Ann Hazelton Justin. And 210 years ago, a young Adoniram Judson wrote an extraordinary letter to the father of the young woman he wanted to marry. And this is what he wrote. And he said, this is how he closed his letter to his prospective father-in-law. "I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world, whether you can consent to her departure for a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and suffering of a missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and probably a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you, for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and to the glory of God?" Wow. What a letter. And the father gave his consent, and Adoniram and Ann were married in February, about a year and a half later. They would be the first American missionaries to go overseas, and Ann would serve with her husband Adoniram until 1826, until her death at an early age of 37. So just a little bit about Ann and why we're studying her. She was born in Massachusetts in 1789 to an unsaved Congregationalist family. They had a very good life. The father had a very good job, and they're a very, very popular family. It included church attendance, but religion really wasn't very important. In 1805, however, a new teacher arrived in Bradford Academy, which is the school that she went to as a child, and he was intensely serious. He believed in heaven and hell, and he taught without true conversion that that one would be eternally lost in hell. And Anne, for the first time, began to question the assumptions on which she based her life. To make a kind of a long story short, when she was 16, she professed Christ as her salvation. And there was a revival going on across the United States in the early 1800s. And her family, her father, her brother, her sisters were eventually saved, and they formally joined the Congregational Church. Like Adoniram, if you recall last week, God immediately began to work on her heart about foreign missions. And that's kind of interesting because foreign missions was unheard of. There was no such thing. Now, they had heard of William Carey, the English Baptist, but by and large, no one thought about foreign missions. In fact, most people thought it was foolhardy and really too dangerous. No support. There's just nothing. If you went, you were crazy. And so most people didn't think about it. And it's interesting that God began immediately to work on her heart. And I mentioned last week that a group of young seminary students, God was speaking to their hearts. And there was about five of them that met daily for prayer at noon. And they had become absolutely single-minded about committing themselves to the unreached. And over again, they lobbied the Congregationalists to establish a missionary agency. In June of 1810, four students appeared before the General Assembly, or the General Association of Congregational Ministers, and they volunteered to go overseas for missionary work. And this was unprecedented, really, in American Christian history. And it really is the beginning of the American missionary movement. It's probably safe to say, as I said, that most Christians thought that leaving for overseas mission work was fanatical and misguided. The obstacles were too great. But Adoniram presented this proposal and on behalf of the group. When the meeting was over, the four students went to lunch at the home of Ann's parents. Ann was 21, and she was present that day when those four college students came to her home. Adoniram was instantly enthralled with her, and that was the first time they met. And just a month later, he would write that letter that I just read to you, to her father. Imagine that. This young man, this guy has known your daughter for 1 month, and he writes a letter like that. And so her parents left the choice to Anne. She decided to marry Adoniram and to leave everything behind for the unknown. She knew that she'd probably never see her family again. There was no mission network. As I mentioned, there was nothing. Nobody ever talked about this before. There was not even an American embassy in Asia. There were no guarantees. There wasn't even certainty that the missionaries would have a place to safely minister to the people they were going to minister to. So they were married the next February 5th, and they sailed from Massachusetts 12 days later. The Judsons sailed with another couple, Anne's best friend, Samuel and Harriet Newell, and another ship would leave maybe a few weeks later, a few days later, with Adoniram's dear friend, Luther Rice, and two other couples. So these four men all volunteered, and within months, they were on their way to serve alongside William Carey in India, or so they thought. And the trip took 4 months. There was another year and a half of further delays and frustrations. India twice rejected the missionaries. They eventually found their way to Burma, which was a country on the other side of India. Sadly, Harriet Newell, Anne's friend, and her newborn baby both died on that four-month journey and at sea. They both died at sea because of the horrendous conditions at sea. And I talk about the hardships, and we think about the physical hardships, but and I mentioned this last week also, but something that's very interesting to me was that when they arrived in Burma, they couldn't even begin evangelization of the people because there was a written language, but there was no grammar. There wasn't a dictionary. There was no sentence structure. There was no punctuation. There was just these run-on letters, and mostly it was verbal. Imagine walking into that, and they were very gifted linguists, the two of them, but this proved to be an experience they never encountered before. And Adoniram's first thing he had to do was make a dictionary. Imagine, I mean, it's logical, but you don't think about that because we know the definition of our words. Those people didn't. They just spoke. And after a while, people kind of understood, what you were saying. Maybe I'm getting most of it, maybe not. And so they made a grammar. They put together the dictionary. They studied for 12 hours a day for 2 years before these two things were developed. And after 2 years, Adoniram produced the first Burmese tract and began to work on translating the New Testament. Anne, for her part, wrote a catechism which summarized Christian teaching. Of course, this would be brand new to the Buddhists there in Burma. And it was 6 years before they saw their first convert. They had developed, no one would come to the mission house where they lived and tried to work out of, so they developed what they called a zayat, which was a shelter by the side of the road, away from their mission statement, and there people could rest as they walked to the next city. They could discuss. They could hear the gospel preached, and so this became the idea that really worked and God used. And so one day, a man named Mong Nao made a visit to the Zayat, and he came back repeatedly for 5 days. And Judson wrote this in his journal about 5 days later. He said, I begin to think that the grace of God has begun to manifest his grace to the Burmans. But this day I could not resist the delightful conviction that this is really the case. Praise and glory be to his name forevermore. Amen. And this was the first conversion of a Burmese. And within a year, there were 10 baptized Burmese in the nucleus of a small church. Again, I mentioned some of these things last week, but of course, this is going on around them, but Britain declares war on Burma. And immediately, anybody who was Western, American in this case, was considered considered to be a spy. And Adoniram was dragged from his home and thrown into what was known as the death prison. It was named that because very, very few ever came out of that prison alive. In prison, they awaited execution in filthy conditions. Every day someone was executed, they were just waiting their turn. And they were tortured at night. Their legs and bodies were raised and tied to a pole, so only their shoulder and head was on the ground. That's how they had to sleep every night. And Judson was imprisoned there for a year and a half. During that time, Anne petitioned daily for her husband's release. She would walk 4 miles every morning in the 100-plus heat. I thought at first that the reports were wrong as I read some of these things, but they said that many days the heat reached 160 degrees. Just imagine that. I didn't even know that was even possible. But she would walk every day, petition the jailers for her husband's release without any regard for her personal safety. For 8 of those months, she was expecting. When she delivered their baby, Maria, she then would carry Maria every day 4 miles to the prison. During this time, she was running the mission. She began a girls' school to reach the women of Burma, a great burden of hers. She saw many saved at the school, and her writings during that time were to reach many more after her death. As she taught every day and did personal work in the Zayat, she also was engaged in translation work in both Burmese and Siamese. Many days she smuggled scripture and translation tools into the prison that allowed him to work on the translation hidden there and maybe in a corner of the prison, and it allowed him then to finish the New Testament soon after his release. And then suddenly he was released, just out of nowhere. The Burmese realized they were in a very losing situation with war with Britain, and they needed someone to help negotiate the peace, and Adoniram knew English and he knew Burmese. And so they released him, and he helped with the negotiations to end the war. And Adoniram and Anne would enjoy a wonderful 2 weeks together before he was called away to the capital. And sadly, her health had been so damaged by the disease and the heat that she died about a month or so later to cerebral meningitis. Her final sufferings were endured without her husband, who was away at the capital. He did not know how sick she was. And she was 37 when she went home to be with the Lord. Just a very sad thing, humanly, to speak of. But the drama and the drama of the Judson story proved to be a great inspiration to first generations of Baptist overseas missionaries. This became the largest missionary sending force in history because of the testimony of the Judsons and the people that would be called to India and Burma. Judson's work made a lasting impact on the Burmese people. Today, there's hundreds of churches that trace their roots back to Judson's work. As I mentioned, there was a census taken not too long ago, and over 600,000 people today belong to Baptist churches in Burma, which I think I'm pretty sure is a closed country to missionaries. But Anne, through her faithful years of sacrificial service, served really as the spearhead for the modern missionary movement, and especially there in Asia. Her writings would inspire multiple generations to give the gospel to unreached people overseas. They were powerful examples of what a person can do when they are totally given over to the Lord, the two of them. And they said this: they believed that what happened to them was of secondary importance. A sovereign God would use them as long as he wished, and then he would raise up others in their place. And we just want to thank the Lord this morning for these visionaries, amazing people. We've talked about two missionaries really that changed the world, the Judsons and William Carey. It's really kind of hard to fathom what they went through. And we put a lot of things in our own context of what's going on in 2020 and the modern conveniences. Imagine going to a land where there was nothing. You didn't even know the first word of the language. And serving God there. And if I could, I brought this up, Pastor Bowman brought up last week, and I think we put it up, there's a biography which many consider to be maybe the best missionary biography, To the Golden Shore. And I would encourage you, as I try to do, to read about these men and women that we talk about. And To the Golden Shore, I say it this way, and I think it will change you. It's amazing, that book. And you'll read about the hardships. You'll cry with them during very, very difficult times. Rejoice with them and what the Lord would do for them there. But To the Golden Shore is a wonderful biography. We have many copies in our bookstore and in the library. So I would encourage you to read that if you have not read that missionary biography about the Judsons.